बुद्ध्यापि
सैवानित्यात्मासुकानुभूत्यापि
युदस्तमनन्तस्ततो हि किं पुनः
युदस्तमायन्तस्ततो हि किं पुनः
सुखानुभूत्यापि
Sacred. Once only.
Once only.
Yes.
Whose?
Anga Pratima.
Anga Pratima.
The form of the Supreme Lord.
The form of the Supreme Lord.
There are many forms.
There are many forms.
But Krishna is the original form.
Antak Ahita.
Placing within the core of the heart.
Placing within the core.
Somehow or another. Manasmayi. Thinking of him even by force.
Bhagavatam.
Which is competent to offer devotional service to the Lord. Tadao Krishna gave.
Katim.
The best destination. Sa. He. The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Eva.
Indeed. Nitya.
Always.
Atma. Of all living entities.
All living entities.
Sukha Anubhuti. Anyone thinking of him immediately enjoys transcendental pleasure.
Abhivyadastamaya.
Because all illusion is completely removed by him.
Antakata.
He is always present. Within the core of the heart. Translation. If even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can obtain the Supreme Salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of it of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed. If even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
into one's mind.
One can obtain the Supreme Salvation. By the mercy of Krishna.
As did Agasura.
What is to be said of those? Whose hearts are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Enters.
When he appears as an incarnation.
Or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Who is the source of transcendental bliss. For all living entities. And by whom all illusion is completely removed.
Purport.
Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. Yathāra Pankaja Palasa Vilasa Bhaktya. Bhagavatam 4.22.39. Simply by thinking of Krishna, one can obtain him very easily. Krishna is also described as having his lotus feet, always within the hearts of his devotees. Bhagavan Bhaktaridhi Sitaha. In the case of Agasura, one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer to this is that he thought of Krishna for a moment with devotion. Bhaktyaham Ekaya Rahaya. Without devotion, one cannot think of Krishna. And conversely, whenever one thinks of Krishna, or one undoubtedly has devotion. Although Agasura's purpose was to kill Krishna, for a moment Agasura thought of Krishna with devotion, and Krishna and his associates wanted to sport within Agasura's mouth. Similarly, Putana wanted to kill Krishna by poisoning him. But Krishna took her as his mother, because he had accepted the milk of her breast. Swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya. Bhagavatam 2.40. Especially when Krishna appears as an avatar, anyone who thinks of Krishna in his different incarnations, Ramadi Mortishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan, and especially in his original form as Krishna, attains salvation. There are many instances of this, and among them is Agasura, who attained the salvation of Swarupya Mukti. Therefore, the process is Sadatam Kirtanandomam, Yatantas Chadragavrataha, the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita 9.14. Those who are devotees always engage in glorifying Krishna. Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anandarupam. We speak of Krishna, refer to all his avatars, such as Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Balaram, and Shyama Sundara. One who always thinks of Krishna must attain mukti, vimukti, special salvation of the Lord's personal associates. Not necessarily in Vrindavan, but at least in Vaikuntha, this is called Sarupya Mukti. So the text again. Sakrit Yaranga Pratimanta Arhita Manomayi Bhagavatim Dadao Vithim Devanityatma Sukhanubhutyabi Yudas Dasta Mayongar Vitohikim Vanaha. If even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. But then, as he said of those whose heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters, when he appears as an incarnation, for those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasadaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminta Namane Namaste Sarasajam Deve Kauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya Ade Suparna. And Brahma Sankhita says, Brahma Primanjana Shrita Bhakti Vilokanena Santam Sadaiva Vyesha Vilokayanti Yam Shayama Sundarama Chintya Guru Swarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Swaham Vidami. That Lord Brahma is worshipping Krishna, the primeval Lord, who can be seen in the heart with the eyes smeared with the salve of devotion, prema. Such a personality, Krishna, is inconceivable, unlimited, transcendental attributes. The aim of the Krishna consciousness movement is to see Krishna always. As it said in the Padma Purana, that the purpose of all the different rules and regulations is to always remember Krishna and never forget Martatam Sattam Vishnur, this Marta, Jatinakinshit, Sarva Devi Nise Yasyor Apyor Eva Kinkara. In other words, now presently we're in a material body, and the material body is conditioned by the three modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. So although, due to false ego, we misidentify ourselves as a body, gradually by coming in contact with the higher modes of nature, gradually our illusion is dispelled. And the best process of coming in contact with the higher modes of nature is to come in contact with Krishna. Just like we put an iron into the fire, gradually the iron will become hotter and hotter and hotter, and then gradually it'll become just like the fire. Though it's iron, but wherever you touch the iron, it'll act just like fire. Similarly, being conditioned by the modes of material nature, being influenced by the modes, therefore we have a tendency to act according to the modes. It is said, Sadvana Rupa Sarvasha, Shada Bhavati Bharata, Shara Mayo Yam Purusha, Yoyat Shara Seva Saha. According to one's existence under the three modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. And according to one's modes of nature that one is situated in, one is said to be a particular faith. So, if we just followed our karma, we wouldn't get anywhere except for another material body. But by the process of devotional service, by coming in contact with Krishna, therefore gradually we become spiritualized. Sometimes the devotees take devotional service as something mechanical, in the sense that I just do my devotional service, and it doesn't really matter where my mind's going, but because I'm doing devotional service, somehow or another I'm getting benefits. So what that benefit is, sometimes the devotees don't even know what the benefit is. They think, maybe for Christmas, Santa Claus will give me some special gift or something. But the actual benefit is that if we do our service properly, then we should get the supreme reward, and the supreme reward is the ability to think about Krishna. Of course, if we try to do it mechanically or artificially, we may be able to do it for some time, but it won't last very long. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita and other literatures give us a process by which we can learn how to gradually think of Krishna without any deviation. Ananya Sindhya Dhamma, Ye Jana Pari Pasate, Te Sham Nitibhu Dana, Yoga Shema Ananya Ananya Chaita Sadatam, Yomam Smarati Nitisa, Tasyam Subla Parda, Nityu Tasya Yogina. The one who thinks of me without deviation, Ananya Sadatam, Ananya Chaita Sadatam, one who always remembers me without deviation, I'm easy to obtain, Krishna says, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So how to come about? Well, first thing we need is knowledge. In order to think about Krishna, we have to understand things properly. Why is that? Because it's a process by which we forget Krishna. Normally the soul wouldn't forget Krishna, but because we're in the material nature, and the material nature is programmed to help us forget Krishna. It doesn't take much in the material world to forget Krishna. But if we learn the process, we can learn the process of avoiding the trap of material nature, which causes us to forget Krishna. If we try to engage in material activities, the material consciousness, at the same time try to remember Krishna, it becomes exceedingly difficult. And even if we do succeed in remembering Krishna, it won't be in full devotional consciousness. Therefore, one has to know how the material nature works, especially how it works to help us forget Krishna. And the most important thing is, material nature has convinced us that we're the Lord of some part of material nature. We may not think we're the Lord of all of material nature, but we're just trying to become Lord of some part of it. Usually it's the body that we're in. We think, well, alright, I'm not a big controller. I don't have a whole lot of money. I don't have a house or a car or anything else. But at least I have my body, and I can do with my body as I like. Then we always think the body is mine, and at least I, even if it wasn't mine, it would belong to Krishna. But I'm free to do with it as I desire. Krishna is not going to take away my free will, my desire, so I'm free to desire any way I want. And if Krishna fulfills my desire, so much the better. If not, then, you know, what can you expect of someone who's such a controller as Krishna? So we have to realize that everything is the property of Krishna, and it was always Krishna's property. Therefore, there's no need to lament that I didn't become the controller in the past, because I could never become the controller. So, accepting that everything now is Krishna's property, it was his property in the past, he controlled everything. And in the future, he's still going to control everything. Even if every country in Europe becomes part of the EU, they unite together, still Krishna is going to still control everything. It's not going to make any difference. There is no democracy that's going to vote Krishna out of office. We can't constitutionally eliminate Krishna from material existence. No, he's always the controller, therefore we have to accept it. Therefore, Prabhupada gives the example, just like if one is a banker and he's counting millions and millions of dollars working in a bank, he doesn't consider that even one penny or 1 euro belongs to him. Do they use euros here in Romania, or do they have a different currency?
We have a different currency.
What is it called?
Leo.
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 Almost like Leo or Leo.
It's that like.
Leo. The lion.
A small one.
Okay. Smaller than a lion.
A small one.
Cub. You have the lion, the cub scales. So the banker or the teller in the bank, he may count millions of leos. But he doesn't consider even 1 cent too long to himself. Because if he does, then he gets arrested. Similarly, we don't have to go far to fall into Maya. We simply have to think, something belongs to me. And immediately Maya captures us. We just forget everything belongs to Krishna. And once we're an illusion. Now we may be in a nice illusion. We may think, well, my illusion is rather a comfortable illusion. It's not like all these other low-class illusions. But Prabhupada would always give the example, whether you're in a first-class prison or a third-class prison, you're still in prison. Therefore, one has to learn, at least, we may go so much elaborate philosophy, we may even talk about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, but ultimately these things won't happen. Well, they will not help us very much unless we become convinced, number one, that there is a Krishna. I was reading in Shruti Kirti Prabhu's book, What's the Difficulty? And there he said, Prabhupada was talking to him one time, and he said, one difficulty in the Hare Krishna movement is that none of my disciples believe that Krishna is God. So that's the problem when you're in the Hare Krishna movement. To accept that Krishna actually exists, that he's God. And if we can accept that, then that's at least the first step. So that's the philosophy we have to learn. How Krishna is God, how he's controlling the material nature, and how we're not controlling the material nature. It may not be the most exciting part of our philosophy, the conditioned soul. Matter of fact, that's the part that we usually don't like to hear about. It's all right, Krishna is God, and he dances with the gopis and things like that. And that means that he's kind of like a normal person. But all this elaborate philosophy that I'm not the doer, it's all kind of mumble jumble. Too esoteric for me. A akin to something practical. But if we can accept that Krishna is actually the controller of everything, then the next thing is, if he's God, and I don't want to get into trouble, because that's generally our acknowledgement to Krishna. All right, he's God. Gradually we admit it. So, we don't want him to throw any thunderbolts on us, because he's so powerful. So what can I do to avoid his wrath? So he doesn't get disturbed with me. Not exactly pure devotion and love. Oh, I love Krishna. But at least I want to avoid getting his anger or his wrath. Or he shouldn't get disturbed with me. So let me find out what he wants me to do. And somehow or another, I'll try and do it as much as I can so I don't get into trouble at least. The big boss up there is looking at me and, you know, no one really knows what his mentality is. He might go get disturbed at any moment and my material existence may become problematic. So, all right, I'll follow what he has to say as much as I can. But in order to find out what Krishna has to say, what he wants us to do, we can read Bhagavad Gita. We have to read Bhagavad Gita, otherwise we won't know what Krishna wants us to do. Because even the spiritual master or some authority tells us to do something. But what does it mean to us? It's not simply yes, yes sir. Yes sir, I'll do it because you're the master and I do it. No, one has to read Bhagavad Gita because one has to find out how to do things. Not only what to do, but how to do it. And it's not that every time someone asks us to do something, can you take out the garbage, they're going to give us a 3-hour lecture on exactly how to do it. What kind of consciousness we should be in, mood, we have to study Bhagavad Gita in order to understand things, assimilate knowledge, and understand basically what the mood is of service when we're doing things. How to see Krishna and material energy. How to do things to please Krishna. We have to study Bhagavad Gita and other such literatures. And then we have to find out from Krishna's representatives also what he wants us to do. Not that every day we wake up, we open Bhagavad Gita, and we choose one verse, and that's what we do today. The house is on fire, but it doesn't say anything about the verse. In the verse, it didn't say anything about a fire, so we let the house burn down. Because it did mention in the verse, and I only do it the verse. So we have to find out, we have to be a little practical, and find out from Krishna and his representatives what he wants us to do. So Prabhupada said, if one studies, if Arjuna was present with Krishna 5,000 years ago, so if Krishna's not present like he was with Arjuna, then how do we know what Krishna wants us to do? So if one asks a question to Krishna within this book, as well as under the guidance of the representatives of Krishna. So sometimes they have this group of devotees, they're called Rijas. They say, we don't follow anyone, we only follow Prabhupada. So, if we're only supposed to follow Prabhupada, why should we listen to you? You're telling us to only follow Prabhupada, but that means that if we do that, then we're listening to you, but we're only supposed to listen to Prabhupada. So we reject you because you're not only saying what Prabhupada has to say, you're saying what you said. In any case, Prabhupada says, only don't follow me. He never said, only follow me. Otherwise, he wouldn't have created an institution. If Prabhupada meant, only follow me and read my books and follow me, then he would just spend the whole time printing books. And someone said, for Prabhupada, what about a building where we can all live? No, I'm sorry. Just the printing press. You just buy the books, and wherever you live, that's all right. Just read the books. Fired all the temple presidents, no DPC, only books. Wake up in the morning, open the book, and read the book. There wouldn't be any book distribution because someone would have to stock the books and print the books and always to distribute them, but that would be that someone would have to tell you to distribute the book, but you wouldn't listen to them because you're not supposed to listen to anyone. You're only supposed to listen to the book. you drive past the stoplight, and the police come and arrest you. And they say, why did you drive past the red light? And you go, well, because I only listened to the book. It didn't say in the book for me to stop, so I don't stop. It would be rather impractical. So, Prabhupada was right, that if one listens to Krishna in the book, as well as under the guidance of the representatives of Krishna, then that's as good as hearing from Krishna directly. And what does the book say? Prabhupada says, this word, Mataraha, is very important. This is 1857. Chaita sasarva karmani, maya sanyasa mataraha, uyogam upashitya, manshita sakitam bhava. That in all activities, depend upon me, and work goes under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of it. So, Prabhupada writes, Matara is very important in this verse. It means that one should have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness, just to satisfy Krishna. In other words, we have to know what the goal is. We're here in this Hare Krishna movement. We should know what we're trying to achieve. Not that we take a day at a time. If there is sushanam, and it's a place to sleep, then my life is practically successful. Everything else is too confusing for me to think about. We just take it a day at a time. No, we have to know what the goal is, what we're trying to do here. And Prabhupada says, one should know that the goal is, one should have no goal in life, save and accept, act in Krishna consciousness. So we're trying to act and consciousness of Krishna with the mood of trying to satisfy him. And while acting in such a way, one should think of Krishna only. That I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. In other words, ultimately we have to think whether this duty is authorized or not, whether Krishna really wants me to do it. Not that the super soul of my heart, maybe there's some kind of shade I can put between the super soul and myself, and I don't want him to see. I'm doing this, we don't want him to see. It's not authorized, but you know, give me a break. I need a vacation once in a while. This is too much. No, there's no shade we can put between ourselves and the super soul. If we act to Krishna, he sees it. If we act trying to forget Krishna, act independently of Krishna, he's also aware of it. And he helps us by helping us to get him. But one should think only, I've been appointed this particular duty by Krishna. So we have to meditate whether Krishna wants me to actually say this, he wants me to think this, he wants me to do this. And I'm doing it just to satisfy him. Then Prabhupada says the result will be that one will naturally think about Krishna. It is not hard, it's simply a question of knowing what our goal is and then working such a way to achieve it. Then Krishna will help us, he'll help us remember him. Now we think remembering Krishna once in a while is a nice thing, but it's not really that important. There's so many other things I have to do. If I remember Krishna once in a while, it's nice, but you got to be practical. Too difficult to remember him all the time. No problem, one is to hear regularly about him, to hear important things, especially to try to understand at least the basic philosophy, so that when we look at the flora, we remember it's Krishna's energy. When we look at the sun, we remember it's Krishna's energy. When we think about our body, we remember that it's Krishna's energy, and that whatever I'm able to do, it's also, Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. That it's not my ability, it's Krishna's ability. It's simply Krishna has put me in a body, and that body may have some ability, but I should desire that ability be utilized in Krishna's service, and that's my perfection. Not that the activity itself, whether it comes out perfectly or not, that's not my perfection. My perfection is I'm doing it for Krishna to please him. Then Prabhupada writes, but if you do something whimsically, then the result should be offered to Krishna. Not that I do whatever I want, things go wrong, and then I offer to Krishna. Or, One group of friends of Krishna once did, they were selling heroin. So they thought heroin's a dangerous business. Let's make Krishna a partner in our business. So they were giving Krishna regularly donations to the temple. They thought that Krishna, obviously, he's God. He's not going to want to get caught. So if we give him a donation, certainly he's part of the business. Therefore, he'll protect us. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. They did arrest that friend of Krishna, and they may be looking for Krishna, but they still haven't found him. So far, he's been safe. So one does something whimsically, that sort of duty is not in Krishna consciousness. That order of Krishna comes down through the cycle of succession from the bona fide spiritual master. So one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then his success in life and Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. Of course, we may see within the history of ISKCON, for instance, that sometimes people acted. There was a spiritual master, and people acted under his directions, and they got into difficulty. So that the bona fide spiritual master is one who gives the directions of Krishna coming down from the succession. It's not a personality cult where someone comes up with their own desire. No, the spiritual master is ultimately one who's fixed in Krishna consciousness by following the process of only doing what his spiritual master wants him to do. That he's connected with the super succession, he's connected. And therefore, whatever is through his connection, he knows what Krishna wants, and therefore he can tell his disciples what to do. As the disciples follow, then they also become connected to Krishna. So the whole idea is to become connected to Krishna, become conscious of Krishna. That we have an eternal relation with Krishna, and we become conscious of him, then that is our perfection. Now, Krishna is not like an ordinary person. We become aware of him for a few minutes, and then we get bored of him. We get tired. Krishna, thank you for coming and dancing. You know, it was a great dance. We'll give you an A. Now, can you please go away, because I have other things to do. Don't bother me for a while. Now, if we actually become conscious of Krishna, Krishna is unlimitedly everything. Therefore, he is unlimitedly attractive also. So anyone who actually becomes aware of him, they become permanently enchanted by him. And therefore, they can't give up trying to become more and more conscious of Krishna. So that's inconceivable to us because we've been dealing with internal energy since time immemorial, which is more or less boring. After a while, any combination of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego is going to get more or less the same thing again. We're going to get bored with it after some time. Therefore, we can conceive of someone that's so enchanting that we become eternally enchanted by them. So that's Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is, if we actually become conscious of Krishna, then we'll want to become more conscious of Krishna. And if we're not conscious of Krishna, then we should follow the process as given by Krishna, by which we gradually give up the attachments in material nature which dulls our consciousness and prevents us from becoming conscious of Krishna, and at the same time try to cultivate, as Krishna says, Maya Satamana Parda Yogam Yunja Manashaya Asam Shayam Samagrandama Yatagya Sushitachinu. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha. Now we have to hear regularly, Krishna says first, about Krishna. How by practicing yoga? So how we can practice yoga? In full consciousness of me. I'll become conscious of Krishna in this world and also appreciate Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. You can know me in truth, full from doubt. So that we have to see that gradually we're becoming free from our doubts, we're becoming more aware that there is a Krishna, and that we are Krishna's servants. Not that I'm becoming more expert at something, but I don't have time to remember Krishna. Everything's going great, but my consciousness of Krishna is going nowhere. That would not be very good. If our consciousness of Krishna is increasing, then everything is perfect. That's the aim of all our activities. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
I want to ask about activities which are mechanically. How do we now recognize when I'm just doing mechanically and how to avoid it?
Well, it's mechanically, we're not either trying to pay attention to what we're doing. Shushusha Sharadanasya Vasudev Gataraji, or Kach Sharadana Munaya. Let's see, let's start with that. Shushusha Sharadanasya. So, probably translate Sharadanasya as with great care and attention, we should do our service. So, attention means we're at least using our intelligence. And care means that our intelligence is penetrated into the emotional level, so we're actually trying to do our activities with some service, with some feeling. So we're not only just trying to become conscious of Krishna, but we're actually trying to change our mood to that of a devotional mood. But at least first we should become conscious of what we're doing. So we're just doing it mechanically, we're not conscious. You can have a machine making chapati, and you have a devotee making chapati. The machine will not go back to Godhead. It doesn't get any credit for its devotional service. But the devotee will, if he's paying attention. He may not be able to make chapatis as well as the machine, but at least he can pay attention to what he's doing. He gets some credit for it. And what to speak of doing with some devotion. Nowadays, they'd like to replace everything. Soon they'll have, robots doing arti. For sure, a pujari, we need a new robot. He does it perfectly. He knows he's always on time. He's completely clean. He follows all the principles. We don't have to worry about the robot breaking any principles. And he knows exactly the procedure. He's read the Arjuna Padari and he follows it exactly. But the robot won't get any credit for what it's doing, nor would the deities be very pleased by its exemplary service. So we have to learn how to pay attention and then learn how to become devotional. And we can feel it. It means that we get growing spiritual strength, we become detached from the material energy, and we're able to see everyone, everything in relation to Krishna, and feel our devotion to Krishna increasing. But if there's no Krishna, there's no service to Krishna, it's not being directed towards Krishna, then it's just mechanical. Or, as Rita and Anamara once said, they were trying to get the devotees out of the brahmacharis. Oh no, the brahmacharis were trying to get the ladies out of the temple in some temple in Brazil. And Rita and Anamara said, but, that's not a very good idea, because then who will the brahmacharis dance for? So we have to know what our goal is. We have to know what we're doing, what our objective is. Then it won't be mechanical. I mean, even in the mature world, people are not mechanical because they know what their objective is. They want money, they want sense gratification. They don't hesitate to try and get it. But because we're not getting sense gratification and money, therefore we hesitate. Why am I doing this? At least go through the motions and wait for the final result, which is, prasad. And hopefully at night they'll give me a place to sleep and then my life is perfect. The result of my service has been accomplished. And if no one complains, then I'm peaceful. That's peace. Anything else? Yes.
Sometimes I'm upset or even angry. That means it's a lack of Krishna consciousness.
Well, if you're angry with the demons, it's all right. Arjuna was angry. So was Hanuman. But generally, there are no Ravanas circulating around. Most of the time, we're not on a battlefield, especially Kurukshetra. Yes. Usually, anger is a sign of frustration, which is rising out of lust. And lust is more or less where we want to enjoy the material world. Lust, and when we can't do it, we become angry. So it's our past. Frustrations arise, trying to become the controller and the enjoyer of the material energy. So for some people it's more obvious, so other people it's more subtle. The general yells at the colonel yells at the major yells at the captain, the captain yells at the lieutenant, the lieutenant yells at the sergeant yells at the corporal, the corporal yells at the private goes and kicks the dog. So somehow or another it comes out. But if we chant Hare Krishna and utilize our emotion, try to dovetail our emotional consciousness to pleasing Krishna, then gradually those things will go away. And at least they'll be properly directed. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Radhananda Maga Ki Jai.